Tom, I want to come back to this picture you paint of new regional efforts, talking to Japan, Malaysia, China. Are we seeing some sort of new form of oil diplomacy here that Australia is pursuing, trying to create closer diplomatic ties within our region through this crisis, and by extension, a little bit of distance from the US?
I think they're cashing in on existing diplomatic networks. You know, these are the systems that exist, the structures that exist around the world for exactly this kind of moment. A lot of diplomacy, and we see a lot of it here in Canberra, is cocktail parties and meet and greet meetings and shaking of hands and signing sometimes fairly unimportant international agreements. But when the situation gets real, as we're seeing because of this war in Iran, those relationships and those structures are there for exactly this moment. So, look, I think Anthony Albanese will be trying to capitalise on his relationships in the region. I think Singapore this week is a good example of that. But he'll be confident in the fact that Australia has a big diplomatic network, that we're very active in the region on trade, and there are good relationships to fall back on. If it turns into an opportunity to strengthen them and to kind of get a diplomatic dividend after the crisis, the government will be really happy with that. But as often happens when there are emergency situations, I think they're looking very much at the here and now. And really that in some ways boils down to fuel coming into Australia as much as promised and as regularly as possible.
I love that picture of a very practical Australia. It's fascinating, though, that this is all happening just after Trump singled out Japan, South Korea, Australia, you know, allies that he's really criticised, and we're talking to those allies.
Yeah, it's a good point. It shows what's happening in the geopolitical landscape. America, the great superpower of the past century, pulling back a bit. Trump doesn't respect traditional relationships, doesn't respect alliances. And if they're not in his interest in that exact minute, he'll trash them. If he needs them later, he'll come back to them. A real challenge for countries like Australia, who are practicing a more traditional international diplomacy and who are getting whiplash, frankly. You wake up every day and there's another set of comments from the American president, often mentioning Australia, and that's going to be jarring for our diplomats in the US and around the world, and it's definitely politically unsettling for Anthony Albanese. He's been a little bit critical of some of Trump's language this week, suggesting that the President of the United States might not be talking about taking Iran back to the Stone Age or blowing up the civilization like that. But mostly I think he's trying to keep his powder dry, not go too far out on criticizing Trump, knowing that Australia has real interest in the US alliance. They're our key security partner. There's big ticket things like the AUKUS agreement, and knowing that at least for the next, well, best part of three years, he's going to have to deal with Donald Trump as the President of the United States and the most powerful person in any room he walks into.
Tom, just finally, if we can return to this ceasefire that appears to be in place, even if the Strait of Hormuz opens tomorrow fully, how long is it going to take for things to get back to normal and to be able to say the oil shock is over?
So first things first, it's a big if. You know, a 2-week ceasefire might not hold, it might not turn into a lasting peace. But if it were to, the expectation from the government, from geopolitical experts, economists as well, it must be said, is that there'll be a very long tail to this conflict. The disruption, particularly in energy markets, is historic, and it's going to take months for it to settle down. I think there'll be lasting change as well. I think countries will look to be more resilient themselves. Australia's going to do that on energy in particular. But every expectation is that the disruption for Australia will last some time. Now, that's going to play out in a few difficult ways. Fuel suppliers getting back onto a more even keel, inflation going up in the second half of the year, big disruption for the May federal budget, which is supposedly being drafted now, but very difficult conditions. So you wouldn't envy the government of these challenges, and I think they're going to last for months to come.
Tom, thank you so much for talking to us today, even as events just keep moving.
Regid, thanks. It's really good to speak to you and your listeners.
That was political editor Tom McElroy. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. And the executive producer of this episode is Joe Koning. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts, including on Spotify. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.